From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The Caldwell Police Department has created a new specialized gang unit to reduce gang-related crimes around the Treasure Valley. The five-member unit is called Operation Safe Streets, or OSS. In just 1 month, the new OSS unit made 21 arrests, pulling meth, fentanyl, even guns off the street. And they're networking with other agencies and interacting with schools and families and local businesses to work to keep gangs out of Caldwell. Now, joining us today to talk about this new unit are Caldwell Police Chief Rex Ingram and OSS Sergeant Andrew Holmes. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Good afternoon, Gemma. Thank you so much. I'm Chief Rex Ingram, and next to me is Sergeant Andrew Holmes. Thank you for having us.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good to have you on. And so, Chief, let me start with you. You have been very vocal about your concern around gangs. You, in fact, told gangs that Caldwell is, quote, not their turf, and that your city is not a battlefield. So with all of that said, I mean, how bad is the gang problem in Caldwell?
So we're kind of seeing a resurgence of the 2004-2005 era of gang members trying to claim this is their turf. And historically, criminal Hispanic street gangs come from California. And so what we're seeing in Caldwell is kids that are from Idaho that are associating themselves with the gangs that are from California. They're California prison and street gangs. But yet they've never even gone to the areas where these gangs originated from. And so the access to firearms in Idaho, the access to ammunition in Idaho makes it easy for them, especially for our youngsters out there trying to make a name for themselves. A lot of the people are coming out of the prison now that were arrested back in 2004 and 2005. So we're dealing with those folks as well, but also the use of social media and fentanyl. I mean, there's a lot of different things that are compounding the issue that we're facing here. But we have definitely seen an uptick in gang violence, in graffiti, in shootings. For the average person to come to Caldwell, it's very safe. These gang members are not targeting innocent people. They're not targeting people like you and me, Gemma, that come to Caldwell to enjoy the night festivities or the rodeo or, you know, the parades that we have. These individuals are targeting other gang members, or they're targeting subdivision walls, you know, and fences, and to try to mark their turf to instill fear and intimidation within the community to kind of mark their territory.
Mm-hmm. So, Chief, when did you decide that you needed to start up a gang unit?
So last summer, when I first got appointed, I was noticing a lot of gang graffiti, and I talked to people that were here for a long time, people that were new in the department, city officials, businesses, schools, churches, and it's been kind of on the rise for the last couple of years. So what I wanted to do was kind of reimagine and rebrand the mission of the gang unit. And instead of just enforcing laws and kind of just handcuffing the community, more changing it to data-driven and actually collaborating and partnering with the community and the schools and the SROs and all the different stakeholders. But I wanted to make sure I had all the right players on the team involved. And so with doing that, I had to really find out and learn my department and see who is who, and really be strategic about what the mission is of the gang unit. So with all that said, part of me as the manager or the CEO, if you will, as the company is, you know, I had to get, like I said, all the right people in the position. And so doing that, I had to promote people. I had to find out where people were going to be at this year in their careers. But I really wanted to have this unit focus on fishing with a hook and not a net. And this is a full-time unit that is dedicated to understanding, working with, not just arresting, but working with gangs, and actually understanding why they exist, how they exist, how they make their money, what they do for fun. Those are the types of things that we are doing that are really not traditional in a gang enforcement unit. And so by doing that, I have to have the right officers and the right leadership in place to actually exercise that and make that come to fruition. I don't want to just put random police officers in a unit with no purpose. And so everything that we do is very strategic and very methodical. And to be quite honest with you, the patrol officers are just too busy to focus time on just dealing with gangs. And so instead of having officers just go out and respond to calls and take people to jail and do the reactive type of police work, I thought it was very important to have a unit dedicated to dealing with the most violent part of the society in any society, which is historically as gang members, but actually building a relationship with them to be able to prevent crime before it actually happens by having those relationships.
Mm-hmm. So Sergeant Holmes, what is your role in this new unit?
Well, I'm the supervisor of Operation Safe Street. So I have a team of four other officers, including one corporal who will help me with those duties. But these officers have been placed on the unit, as the chief said, were put there for a reason because they're passionate about reducing gang violence and they're good at it and they know gang members in the community. And so I'm basically overseeing what they're doing when they go and make a car stop or they go to a house or they stop out with people. I'm showing up to make sure that they're doing things the right way. I'm approving their reports. I'm following up with if there's someone that is injured, for instance, I'm making sure that everything was done by the book. And overall, I'm just trying to ensure that everything we do is with the utmost ethical considerations.
And so, Chief, I'm curious about how much collaboration then there is between this new unit, OSS, and other law enforcement, because I would think that collaboration would be critical in what you're trying to do.
Absolutely, Gemma. We cannot do our job without the collaboration of not only the community, but our local, state, and federal partners. And specifically what the OSS unit, what they do, it's a very narrow kind of a myopic view of law enforcement. It's just dealing with a certain part of the community. They're not handling regular routine calls, if you will. So part in doing that is they work collaboratively with the Napa Police Department. They're currently working with the FBI. They're working with the Canyon County Sheriff and his unit. We help out other smaller agencies like Middleton, Parma, Wilder, basically anyone in Canyon County, and also Ada County as well. We've worked with Meridian. We work with the Ada County Impact Team. Part of my vision and, you know, coming from the city of Los Angeles, where, you know, I'm used to dealing with a lot of different agencies and personalities and that type of thing, is really expanding our horizon in Canyon County, because criminals know no borders. And in Idaho, gangsters don't know what a border looks like. They go anywhere. A lot of our crime bleeds into Nampa and vice versa. So the more that our teams can collaborate together, the safer the entire Treasure Valley will be. And this is something that we talk about with the prosecuting attorney's office. We talk to the U.S. attorney's office. We just filmed a PSA with Mr. Josh Hurwitz, the U.S. attorney for the District of Idaho, about 2 weeks ago with all the different chiefs. And so we're each going to have our own little segment on that PSA that will be coming out in a couple months. But I'm very proud of the work that everyone's doing together. People are finally putting their egos aside and just getting to the ground. And how can we make this place a better place for everyone to live, work, and play together, rather than this is my territory or your territory, or we don't help Boise or they don't help us. And we're all, the executives are all on the same page. And I'm super, super proud of that.
For folks who are just joining us, let me reintroduce you. We're talking with Caldwell Police Chief Rex Ingram and Sergeant Andrew Holmes discussing the new OSS unit. It's put together to fight gang violence. I want to talk next about these results that your department has released just after the first month. So, Chief, talk about what OSS did during April.
So during April, they were very busy. They work basically 4 days a week, and they pretty much work the busiest days, which is traditionally, historically, Wednesday through Saturday, and they work PM hours. And so during that time, they would go out in a regular shift, and their mission is to try to get intelligence and information on gangs. Now, the enforcement side is one part, but really understanding the actual culture and the subcultures of why there are gangs is the most important part. Because if you understand the why, then you can understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. So in that first month, like you said, they arrested 21 people. They recovered a lot amount, lethal dosages of fentanyl, illicit fentanyl off the street, a lot of other narcotics. They seized a lot of US currency, recovered several weapons, illegal weapons possessed by prohibited possessors or convicted felons. And sometimes there's people that think, the unit, maybe we arrest a drug dealer with a little bit of narcotics, but they don't know the full story, and this person has a gun and they're a convicted felon, but we can't really release certain information. So, but the point is that we have a unit that is, again, fishing with a hook rather than a net, and just they're not stopping and arresting everyone they see. They're really going in there with a surgical approach to dealing with specific individuals that are terrorizing the community.
And Sergeant Holmes, before we take a quick break, we should note that your unit arrested 21 people on crimes in that first month. And they included things like probation violation, resisting arrest, trafficking or possessing guns, even a hit and run, but a lot of drug charges involving meth and fentanyl. So when you started this, in this unit, you are the supervisor. Did you think you would be this successful this quickly?
Honestly, I was very confident in the officers that were placed on the unit, and they were put there for a reason. And I was confident that they would have immediate success because they've basically already been doing this type of work when they were formerly just patrol officers responding to calls. And in their free time, they were building up their skills in this area because that's what they're passionate about. So I knew right away that when they were given a mission and had free time to go and seek out this problem, that they were going to just immediately knock it out of the park, which they did.
So over its first month, OSS had contact with a lot of different gangs, Chief, including the North Side, South Side. There's Caldwell Norte, there's Rock Machine Outlaw Motorcycle Gang. I mean, who makes up these gangs?
So most, I would say a majority, maybe like 98% of the gangs stem from California gangs that are where I was did my first tour as a police officer and worked gang units in South Central Los Angeles. The Bloods and the Crips, we don't have any of them here, but those started in South LA. One of the big gangs that we have here is Florencia 13. That is also from South Central Los Angeles. And so when we're talking about North and South, what we're really talking about is Northern California versus Southern California. But that is a those are prison terms that are used to identify gang members when they go to prison and who they identify with. And so, for example, anyone that would wear blue and have the number 13 is generally speaking going to associate with a Southern California or Sureño gang, southern, which means Southern in Spanish. And they identify with the number 13 because it's the 13th letter of the alphabet, which is the letter M. And they pay their taxes to the Mexican mafia. Now, Norteño or N or Northern associates with the number 14 because it's the 14 letter of the alphabet and it's the N. And so, and that they were red. And so that's the Nuestra Familia. And but in Idaho, there's really no leadership. There's no organizational rank structure, if you will, like we have in a police department or in a business. So the dangerous part is, as I like to say for the common folk listening, is it's kind of like a baby rattlesnake. They don't really know how potent or deadly their bite is until they mature, until they get some time in life. And so what we're dealing with these young kids and these juveniles is, they're stabbing each other, they're shooting at each other, and they don't really know why they're doing it. You can go to a house on a probation search and see two brothers in the same house wearing different colors and identifying as a different gang. Now, historically, gangs are from different streets, right? So if you live on A Street, you can't belong to B Street gang. You have to be an A Street, no matter what. But that's not what we're seeing in Idaho, is you have a lot of kids that are just misled and don't understand. They'll literally pick their gang because they like the color. And that's not historically how it works. But that makes it actually a little more dangerous for us because these kids don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And so that's where our OSS officers, led by Sergeant Holmes, can actually educate them and mentor them and kind of get their life together and give them some leadership that they're missing in their home.
And Sergeant Holmes, I know we talked about some of the arrests you were able to make, especially in particular dealing with drugs. And I think there's this idea that the main criminal activity of gangs is drugs. Is that accurate?
That's one piece of it. They're interested in drug sales and they're interested in violence. The number one way that violence occurs is with firearms. So, like the chief was saying, firearms are, readily available, maybe in their homes from their parents. They can maybe buy them illegally, whatever the case may be. But, going and doing a drive-by shooting at their opposition's house or scaring them by, threatening a weapon or pointing it or bragging about having a weapon on social media, things like that. So probably drugs and guns is the other major aspect to what they're doing.
Chief, I know we. Oh, go ahead. No,
No, I was going to say,
continue.
Gemma, it's kind of frightening because we've had just in the last couple of weeks, and we haven't put this out necessarily to the public, but we've had gang members on social media standing behind police officers on a stop or at a restaurant and
Oh.
posing with a gun or commenting, "Oh, let's put some rounds into his back right now." And so that's real. That's real time in Canyon County that's happening, which the public doesn't really know about. And those are active investigations that OSS are currently working. But with social media, it's just giving these guys a lot more access to, back in the day, there wasn't social media. So what they would do is they would tag up a wall or go to school and tag up a school. But now it's so easy to go on social media on Instagram and TikTok. That they're just doing this and they don't even have to leave their house and they can intimidate the community by doing it online.
Okay, so Chief, I want to talk a little bit more about that because do you, in your opinion, do you think there was maybe a disconnect within the community when it comes to these gangs in particular? In Caldwell, because as you mentioned in the beginning of this interview, most people are not going to be touched by gang violence, right? So it's very easy to live your life and to hear about this, but to not be concerned, to not pay attention. And even if, like, let's say someone goes to, Indian Creek Plaza, right? You go out to dinner or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't want to be concerned, yet at the same time, I mean, you're making me concerned. Does that make sense? So, I mean, where, what, how does the community play a role in this, even if you are not going to be necessarily touched by this, if that makes sense?
No, it's a great question. I appreciate you asking. So there's different neighborhoods in the city of Caldwell and in Canyon County that are historically known for higher levels of gang activity. And so what we try to do is focus and concentrate on those neighborhoods and really get it under control. A lot of the other things that we do behind the scenes that OSS does that we can't really measure with a metric is getting ahead of the graffiti. Because the graffiti is actually a form of a way of basically claiming a territory or an area. And the longer you keep it unpainted or not painted over, the more it invites other gangs to come in and kind of, and then that leads to usually can lead to a shooting. So what we try to do is take a very proactive approach and really getting ahead of the game and doing that. But I can say as the chief, we don't have stranger crime in Caldwell. We don't have street robberies. We don't have street shootings where random people are getting shot at. We just don't. And we don't have that in Idaho. We don't have stranger rapes. We just don't have that. I'm very proud of that. So when I talk about gang violence, they are not shooting or robbing innocent or say innocent random people. They're dealing with other gang members because it's a show of dominance and intimidation. And really, what it comes down to is they make money by narcotics, firearms, and extortion. So what a lot of these gang members would traditionally do is they go to like a taco vendor, for example, Spanish speaking people maybe here with or without papers, and they would say, hey, if you want to sell tacos on the corner of A Street and B Street, then you have to pay us $500 a week for protection. It's just like the mafia used to do in New York and Boston
Gotcha.
way back in the day. And really what that does is just allows them to make money, and they don't do anything. There's no protection. There's no quid pro quo. Give me this for that. They're literally extorting money. And if they don't pay the money, say you and I have a business and we're like, you know what? We're not going to pay Florencia to have a taco stand on the corner. Well, then they would come over and then they would intimidate us. They would follow us home. They might send us death threats, that type of thing. But they're not doing that to to the local coffee shops or the steakhouses or the brick and mortar type places. They're doing it to the vulnerable population in society that really cannot protect themselves.
Sergeant Holmes, do you think that this unit's making a difference?
Absolutely. We're spending, 50 hours a week out in the streets, contacting gang members, making arrests, and it's important that the community knows that we're doing this because we care about the community and the safety of everyone. Because while gang members are targeting each other, people witness that sometimes. People might be in the area. People live next door to a gang member when they're not a gang member. And so we care about the safety of those people, and that's why we're out there doing what we do.
In our last couple of minutes, Chief, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that OSS has made a lot of contact with members of these gangs. Things like traffic stops, right? And
Right.
then this unit, you've talked about documenting gang members. Can you explain what that means? I mean, is it similar to profiling? Is it the same? Is it different?
So that's a great question. Yeah. So in Idaho state law, there's a law that defines what a gang is and what a gang member is. And then there's a database that gang members, if they meet the criteria, they get inputted into the gang system. And then after a certain amount of years, they get purged out. So after 5 years, if there's no contacts and they're not, let's just say they go to prison, right? Then after they get out after 5 years, then they would be purged from that system. So then if they didn't do anything and they cleaned their life together and they weren't a gang member anymore, then obviously we wouldn't put them into a gang file. But what these officers are doing is actually identifying either recurring gang members or new gang members. And one thing I want to touch on is right now we have about 190 known, documented, active, full-time gang members in just our city alone. Now, I only have 78 police officers, and to say that we are outnumbered and outgunned just based on numbers alone is an understatement. And in Idaho, obviously, safe to say, everyone has guns. So our officers have to be better and better every day. And really having that relationship and that rapport with those individuals. The more people get out of prison, the numbers show that if they don't rehabilitate themselves, then they come right back in. But as of right now, we have about 190 that are documented in the system. We don't racially profile people. We don't we're not we don't do that. That's against local, state, federal law, and it's just wrong, right? But we do criminally profile individuals based on criminal behavior and patterns. And if we see a gang member that we identify, we don't just stop them for no reason. There has to be some sort of association with a crime, or we have a reasonable suspicion, which is under the Fourth Amendment, to detain someone, and obviously probable cause to arrest someone. Now, our officers, and this is why the leadership is so important, and this is why I wanted to wait until I finally had the right team in place, is because it's such a sensitive topic and it's such a high profile position that I have to have the best of the best working in this capacity, led by the best sergeant. This Sergeant Holmes, who's sitting here next to me, is one of the most dedicated and consummate professionals I've ever worked with in my entire career. And he's a former dispatcher. He was a very, very great detective. He's done a lot of high profile detective prosecutions, and he's got the compassion and the reverence for life, what we're trying to do to lead a unit that is historically, you know, across the country or traditionally known or is like, you know, just high intensity and high frequency, high risk. So I'm taking a very soft-spoken, I'm sure you can hear him on the radio, individual that's very humble, very soft-spoken, to try to calm the waters, to show these officers that there's different ways of going about business than just putting handcuffs on people.
Well, I want to thank both of you for your time today and for allowing us to have an in-depth conversation about this and the work that you are doing in Caldwell. I really appreciate both of your time.
We appreciate you so much, Gemma, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Caldwell Police Chief Rex Ingram and OSS Sergeant Andrew Holmes about the new OSS unit. It is in place to fight gang-related crime. This is the first in a series of discussions about gangs and gang activity in Idaho, so make sure that you stay tuned as we continue the conversation on this very important topic. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. A mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR Network.